Hallelujah. Well, I'm excited to be here in the house of God. And you know, I believe that every time the door opens, we should have an anticipation and a hunger to be in the house of God. Anticipating and just believing that God has something for us with an expectation to hear from Jesus. Amen. I thought about it the other day. You know what? If God woke you up in the middle of the night, and he came up to you and he said, in the middle of the night, he said, listen, on such and such a day, at such and such a time, I'm going to visit you, I'm going to manifest myself to you, and I'm going to speak to you words of wisdom to help you do life. And if God showed up and he told you, on this day, at this time, I am going to come and I'm going to sit with you and talk with you, how many would not miss that appointment? Right? How many would not let anything get in the way? Amen. I tell you what, and that happens all the time. Every Saturday morning, every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, and every Wednesday night, God is in the house. And every time those doors are open, we need to come with a hunger and a desire to sit at the edge of our seat and say, feed me, Lord. Feed me, Lord. And God wants to impart into you His wisdom and His knowledge. And every time those doors are open, you need to be in the house of God and drag your kids to church and say, come on, we're going to hear from Jesus. God wants us to be in His house. We have a divine appointment with God. You know, I looked in the book of Acts in chapter 2, verse 1, when the day of Pentecost came. And there were 120 in the upper room when the Holy Spirit poured out. And I thought for a second when I read about the 120, and I thought, wait a minute, 120? What happened to the 5,000? What happened to all the rest of the people that Jesus spoke to and ministered to? What happened to the multitudes? Where are they? Why was there only 120? I believe because these 120, they decided that they wanted more of God. They wanted more of God, and they weren't going to settle for less than the full power and the anointing of God in their lives. They wanted more of God, more of God. How many of you want more? Come on now. Now listen, I decided a long time ago that I didn't want to be an ordinary Christian anymore. I was going to be extraordinary for Jesus, extraordinary for Jesus. Amen. This 120, they came to a place and they realized they wanted more of God. See, when I gave my life to Jesus, I was 17 years old. 17 years old, I gave my life to Jesus. And after that first day of giving my life to Jesus, something happened inside of me. I mean, something exciting took place. I was a drug addict. I was an LSD dealer. I was going to Compton and buying PCP and selling it to the gangbangers. Even back then, I was trying to make money. Just the wrong way. But I had things happening in my life. But when I met Jesus, and I came to an altar and I bowed my knee and I said, Jesus, save me. I tell you what, something lit up inside of me. All I could think about was Jesus. All I could talk about was Jesus. All I could breathe and eat and sleep was Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I remember, I'll never forget the first day I went back to school. I was still in high school. And I went back and I'm standing at the bus stop. And all my old friends, my old party animal friends, all showed up. And they began to go down the row. What did you do this weekend? Hey, listen, I had hair all the way down to here. I was going to bring a picture, but I decided not to. They started going down the row. What did you do this weekend? What did you do? And they're all saying, I partied over here, I did this. And then when they were getting close to me, something lit up inside. And I had to make a choice. I had to decide, what am I going to do? What am I going to say? And they came up to me and they said, so what did you do this weekend, Tom? And I looked at them and a fire lit up inside of me. And my first day, this is the day after I got saved. And I said, I gave my life to Jesus and you should too. Amen. I tell you what, I went to church. I went to church every day. The doors were open. I was in church. And listen, I used to come to church, and every time they'd have an altar call, I'd come to the altar. They would call people to get saved. I'd go to the altar. I was already saved. They'd ask people if they want to get filled with the Holy Ghost, and I'd come up to the altar. My pastor would come up to me and say, "You already speak in tongues." I wasn't even married. They would have husbands and wives getting things right in their marriages at the altar. I'm at the altar. My pastor at the time came up to me. He goes, "Why in the world that every single time we have an altar call, you come to the altar call?" I looked at him and I said, "Because I want God." I was a Pentecostal altar boy. I remember I went to school, and it was kind of at school my first day of being a Christian. And it's amazing how so many people come out of the woodwork. "Oh, I'm a Christian too. Hey, I'm a Christian. Oh, I'm a Christian too." And I looked at them, and you know what? I got mad. I looked at them. I said, "Are you telling me this whole time I've been a mess? I was on my way to hell. I was going to burn forever. And you had the knowledge of the saving power of Jesus Christ inside of you, and you never told me? What do we got? Submarine Christians?" You know, we only come surface when it's safe. Then we go to work, and there's people around that aren't saved. And coo, coo. And then you come to praise the Lord, brother. Hallelujah. I'm not going to be a submarine Christian. I'm going to be a battleship Christian. Listen, the bridge was out in my life. And listen, sometimes we need to come and realize that there are people around us that need to hear Jesus. They need to hear about the life-saving power of Jesus Christ. Listen, if your neighbor's house was on fire, you would run next door and bang that door down and say, "Wake up! Your house is on fire!" Listen, your neighbor's house is on fire! The bridge is out. They're going down the road of destruction. And the bridge is out. You need to get out there with flair saying, "Listen, your house is on fire. You need to know that Jesus died on the cross for you." These guys, they never even told me. And I decided back then that, you know what? I'm never going to allow that to take place in my life. And everywhere I go and everyone I meet, I'm going to tell them about Jesus. And it's been 21 years now, and I've always talked to people about Jesus. Share the gospel of Jesus with people all around. Because I see that there was a time where I didn't know Jesus and someone didn't share that with me. And they were friends of mine, close friends. And how many of us can be guilty of that? Complain about our neighbors. Our drug addict neighbors. Quit complaining and invite them to church. Your kids' friends that are out to lunch, and you're looking at your kids and you say, "Oh, their friends are so terrible." Hey, bring their friends to church. Get them saved. So tonight, I titled this message, "The Great Commission." The Great Commission. Point number one, it's simple, real simple little verse that I have in Mark chapter 16, if you open your Bible with me, to Mark chapter 16, 15. Mark chapter 16, 15 has one short verse. And he said unto them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." A simple statement. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. You see, we're on a mission with God. We're on a mission with God. It's called the co-mission. And this mission that God has put us on is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And if you look at the verse, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Look at the first word there. It says, the first word says, go. You know what go means? It means go. It doesn't say go if you feel like it. It doesn't say go if the right door is open. How many times I run into people and say, well, I'm waiting for God to open the door. Listen, the door's there. Just grab the doorknob and turn it. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Go means go. And as we look at the scripture, we read a little bit before this, and we see it's Jesus, and he's speaking to his disciples. And he's given his disciples one of the greatest responsibilities of God's kingdom. These were everyday fishermen. These were men that did not have an education. They didn't have great speaking abilities. And here, Jesus is laying on them one of the greatest responsibilities of the kingdom of God, to take this gospel into the four corners of the earth. To take the gospel into the four corners of the earth. This was placed on their shoulders. In a world where there was no television, no internet, no radio, no simple means of transportation, they didn't have Twitter and Facebook. And they had on their shoulders, I believe they had to calculate to themselves, wait a minute, some of them had never even left their homeland. And I believe they were smart enough to do a little calculation and say, you know, in order for us to take this gospel into the world, it's going to take a lifetime. And they counted the cost, and they did it. They took the gospel, and they ran with it. This mission is still in play today. We carry the torch of the life-saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And I declare that we need to begin to hold that torch up and realize that we need to win the lost at any cost. At any cost. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. But in order for us to do that, that brings us to point number two. And that is the dependence on the anointing. The dependence on the anointing. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. The Word of God says, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. That word power is the word dunamis, which is a dynamite power. That's an explosive power. But listen to what this power is for. It's not just for our benefit. This power is just not to make us feel good and say, well, we've got all this power. Listen to what he's saying here. He says, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, and you shall be witnesses of me. So this power that we're talking about, that I believe we're talking about here, is the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Peter, in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, Peter, it says in Acts chapter 4, verse 8, how do we know this? Because Peter stood up, and it says, with the Holy Ghost, he began to speak. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, it was with the Holy Ghost that they began to speak. And it's because of this anointing. It wasn't because of their ability. It wasn't because of their great insight in the Word of God. It was simply because of the anointing. When you've got the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit inside of you, listen, it doesn't take much to win a city to Jesus when you've got the anointing. You know, I play guitar, and I enjoy having nice equipment. But there was a time in my young Christian life that I always thought, you know what, you needed to have the best guitar, the best amplifier, in order for God to move. And there are times where I have to get in front of your children and grab my guitar and grab a microphone. And I know, listen, it's good that I know I am not a good singer. Right? Have anybody met someone who thought they were a good singer? It's good that I know I'm not a good singer. And I get up there in front of those kids with my guitar and my microphone, and I would say, Lord, let the hearing ears go deaf. And I began to play my guitar and sing to these kids. And without any prompting, I would open my eyes. And there are times I've opened my eyes and looked down and see the altar filled with about 100 kids with their hands raised, tears coming down. Why? Because it's not by my ability. It's not by my great singing voice. It's by the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I remember I had an opportunity one time to go to Mexico and minister praise and worship. I didn't sing that time, but I played bass guitar for this worship band. And I was about 19, 20 years old. And we got invited to go to Mexico to play praise and worship for this healing evangelist at a big gymnasium. When I went there, I remember I brought my guitar. They said, don't bring any amplifiers, don't bring anything, just bring your guitars and we have all the stuff there. So we showed up, and we walked in, and they showed us our instrument, our amplifiers that we're going to play out of. And I looked over, and my bass amp, every speaker was torn. And I'm going, okay. And then the guitar player had to play out of this little itty-bitty box with a microphone in front of it. And the drums had duct tape over every drum. And we're going, okay. I tell you what, we begin to sing and worship God. One of the greatest praise and worship services I'd ever been in. It was at that service. I'll never forget it. I was still a baby Christian, and I'll never forget it. I'm on the bass guitar, and it's a healing evangelist, and here comes this little lady. She comes up to the front, and she's missing. Her eyeball's gone. There's just a hole. And I'm thinking what you're thinking. I'm going, whoa. And I'm playing up there, and I'm watching this lady come up on the stage. And this guy, he laid hands on her eye and said, in the name of Jesus, took his hand off, and there was an eyeball in her eye socket. And I saw it. And it was so amazing that even after service, that evangelist was running around like a little kid in a candy store and said, did you see that lady with no eye on? God put an eye in her head. I mean, he was excited. A few years ago, we had an opportunity, Heather and I, to go to the Philippines to minister. And I got invited by this pastor, and we went to their church. And that night before the crusade, the day before, he was holding a crusade. And the night before, he invited me to his church. And I walked to his church, and I'm at his church, and he asked me to minister. And so I began to get up there, and the praise and worship started happening. And, you know, these guys, they had nothing. They had no money. I paid my own way there. I paid for my hotel, and I paid for all my food, and I was the guest speaker. They had nothing. But I walked into that church service, and they began to worship God. They began to praise God. And I tell you what, there was an anointing that filled that room that I hadn't felt in a long time. I said, they don't need me. I didn't bring the anointing. It was already there. I was there to enjoy the anointing that was there. And I remember I got on the stage, and I'm ministering on the stage, and all of a sudden water's hitting the top of my head because it's raining outside. And I look up, and there's the light, and water's coming through the light. And I'm going, I'm going to get electrocuted. And I move over, and as I move over, I bump into a dog on the stage. And I'm going, oh, Lord. But I tell you what, God moved. Hallelujah. God was there. The next day, he took us to the crusade. And I'm thinking, okay, this is a church of 100. You know, it's 100 youth. This church had 100 youth. And it was the pastor and his wife and 100 youth. And he takes us to the crusade, and we're pulling up, and it's the Kineta Astrodome. And I'm thinking, how in the world did this little church of 100 youth get the Kineta Astrodome? And I walk in. And the stage is filled with all the lights, the same lighting we have here. Nice equipment, everything set up. And I'm thinking, how in the world did they do this? So I went up to the pastor and I said, Pastor, I noticed you got this big old stadium. But, you know, and I'm thinking, where did you get the money for this? And I said, you know, I don't mean to be kind of rude or anything, but how is this possible? And he looked at me and said, it's the anointing, brother. Because it's the anointing that opens doors. It's the anointing that breaks yokes. It's the anointing that opens doors that no man can close. It's the anointing that takes us to places that are beyond our ability. It's the anointing. And I'll never forget God moved in that place. And when we had our church services that night that I was talking about earlier, I tell you what, Heather couldn't even get off the floor. She's just weeping all night because of the anointing. And when you've got the anointing on you, that anointing touched your life. The Bible says in Zechariah 4:6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. What is he saying there? Not by my might. It's not going to be by my power or your power. It's by the spirit of the living God. And if we want to win a world to Jesus and spread the gospel, we need the anointing of the Holy Spirit. If you've got the anointing of God in you, you can turn the world upside down. Amen. And number three, it's your turn. It's your turn. I was looking at my Bible the other day and I realized something that, you know, maybe just forgotten. But you know, all through history, men laid their lives down to bring the gospel to you and I. To bring the gospel to this generation. All of the disciples of Jesus, except for John, were killed and murdered. Stephen was cast out of the city and stoned to death. John, the son of Zebedee, was a martyr. Philip was scourged and thrown into prison and afterward crucified. Matthew, the tax collector, was killed by a sword. James, the brother of Jesus, at the age 94, was beat and stoned. Matthias was stoned in Jerusalem and then beheaded. Andrew was arrested and crucified on the cross, two ends of which were affixed transversely to the ground. Mark was dragged to pieces and Peter was crucified upside down. Paul gave his neck to the sword. Jude was crucified. Bartholomew was cruelly beaten and crucified. Thomas was thrust in with a spear. Luke hung on a tree and Barnabas was crucified. I'd like you to open up with me to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33. I'm going to talk about these heroes of faith. I'm not going to get into all the heroes of faith, but I want to talk about chapter 11, 33 through 40. Chapter 11 and Hebrews 33 through 40. Just finished talking about all the heroes of faith, but I believe God wants us to read the rest of this. It says in verse 35, women received their dead raised to life, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And still others had trials of mockings and scourging, yes, of chains and of imprisonment. They were stoned and they were sawn in two. They were tempted, they were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. Of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and the caves of the earth. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. And let's go to verse chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, this cloud of witness are these men that had died for the gospel. Since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and every sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run the race with endurance, the race that is set before us. Listen, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of God, right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest we become weary and discouraged in your souls. In verse 4 is very important. For you have not resisted to bloodshed. What he's telling us here is we didn't pay that price. We didn't pay the price they paid. They laid their lives down to bring us this gospel. And even now in our generation, men like John Wycliffe and Martin Luther and John Huss, who gave their lives so that you could have that Bible in your hand. I want everybody to look at your Bible. I want you to hold that word in your hand. I want you to know something. That precious book That precious Bible you hold in your hand, look at that Bible. I want you to look at it and realize something. This book is in your hand because someone laid their life down for it. Someone died so you could have that in your hand. Someone gave their life, and they're standing in heaven as that cloud of witness saying, what are you going to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ that I died for to bring to your generation? What are you going to do with it? It's so easy to take advantage of something that we didn't pay for. That's why we don't buy our kids brand new cars, right? Because we know they're not going to take care of something they didn't pay for. Many of us, many of Christians, even myself, so easily take advantage of this book, knowing that I didn't pay for this to get into my hands. They laid their lives down so that you could carry the baton to the next generation. The mission is set before us to carry the torch. I want you to open it up one more time with me to Acts, the last chapter of the book of Acts. Acts chapter 28. Chapter 28, 31. It says in verse 31, preaching the kingdom of God, it's talking about Paul, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching the things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no one forbidding him. And then it ends. It's almost as if it ends in the middle of a thought. There's no amen. There's no finish. In the last chapter, in the last verse of the book of Acts. The reason for this, I believe, the book of Acts is the history of the church. It is his story of the church. And you and I are still writing this book. It's still being written. That's why it doesn't have an amen, because the amen hasn't come yet. So the question is, what will your chapter say? What will my chapter say? What will the chapter of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center say? Will it say, as it said in Acts chapter 17, 6, those who turn the world upside down have come here also? Listen, we're not here to rock the boat. We're here to flip it over. And take the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. The Bible says in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And when he's talking about all the world, he's not just talking about a missions trip. He's saying, go into San Bernardino, go to your neighbors, to your friends, to your loved ones, to your strangers. One time I went with a friend of mine to a pharmacy, and he's buying a prescription that he was getting. And as we're in line, and we come up to the cash register, I look over at the lady at the cash register. And this is only a few years ago, you know. And I look over at the lady, and I said, excuse me. She looked at me and said, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? And she said, well, yes, thank you. You know, and everything was cool. We got in the car, and this guy looks at me, and he says, wow, I can't believe you did that. And I looked at him. I said, I can't believe you didn't. What in the world is this about? What are we doing? We've got the knowledge of the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ living inside of us. And the world needs to know. And you're the only one that can tell them. Jesus is not coming back to tell the world about himself. You're the one that's supposed to do it. I looked at him. I said, man, what are you talking about? Isn't this what we're supposed to do? Isn't this what God's called us to do? I've been saved for 21 years. And listen, I still carry the cards in my pocket. Everywhere I go, even to this day. Listen, I made a commitment to Jesus Christ years ago when I was a baby Christian. I said, Lord, a day will not go by unless I invite someone to church or tell them about you. And to this day, I still do it. I still do it. This is common everyday practice of a Christian, is to invite people to church and tell them about Jesus. If you don't want to tell them about Jesus, just invite them to church. We'll tell them about Jesus. It's so simple. And listen, before you leave tonight, there's cards in the back that look just like this. Pick some up and give them out to people. They're not there to look nice on the counter out there. They're there for you to pick up and invite someone to church. This church should be filled. We should have 5 services on a Sunday morning. Our job is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. In Luke chapter 14, verse 23, it says, go into the highways and the byways and compel them to come in. Listen, it's just like the old Nike saying, just do it. You have inside of you the life-saving power and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And like I was in high school, when I gave my life to Jesus, and all of a sudden everybody came out of the woodwork, I thought to myself, I'm never going to let that happen. I'm going to make sure that everyone around me knows that I'm saved and that they need to be saved too. I'm not talking about being rude and just being obnoxious and harsh on people. It's loving them to life. And the best way to love somebody is to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them and invite them to church. Our loved ones, our friends, our neighbors, people around us. It's our time. These men laid their lives down for us. It's our time. All you have to do is get out there. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. So what did we learn today? Number one, God's telling us to go ye. To go ye. Go into all the world. Go into the highways and the byways. Go to our neighbors. Go to our friends. Go to our loved ones. Go to the one that you don't like and tell them about Jesus. Share the gospel. Listen, I've gone sometimes through In-N-Out and order a hamburger and pull up to the drive-thru. And before I give them my money, do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? They're waiting for me to hand them that money. I give them some money and I give them put one of these cards in that with that money and invite them to church. Now, I'm not here to make you feel bad. I'm here to encourage you to invite people to church. This place should be filled every service. You got a good thing here. The word is fresh and alive here. You should be so excited about being part of the Rock Church and World Outreach Center that you can't stop talking about it. Come on now. Number two, we depend on the anointing, the dependence on the anointing, the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our hearts and lives to minister the gospel. Number three, it's your turn. The baton has been handed to you. It's your turn. Men died so that you could have this book in your hand, to have the gospel of Jesus Christ brought to you, not just so we can get fat and full of knowledge. There's a lost and dying world out there. It's our responsibility. That responsibility was given to us to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That lives may be changed and souls may be saved. And if every one of us make a commitment in our heart to at least invite someone to church every day, man, I tell you what, this building isn't going to be big enough. I said this building will not be big enough. It's your turn. Amen. If you got something from Jesus.